Shalom. This is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast coming to you today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks near Branson, Missouri. I'm starting a series. We actually taught out here at Prayer Mountain some years back School of Eschatology number 1. And so I'm going to do this school for you in the upcoming sessions. This is Eschatology School number 1, part 1. Prophecy in Scripture. Its place and importance. Prophecy is defined in Jewish oral law, the Talmud and the Mishnah. They give this definition: the link between the Creator and His creatures by means of prophecy is one of the foundations of the creation of the world. Think of it. Everything we know about Him that came in the Word had to come through prophets. Number 2, twice as many prophets arose among the Jews as there were Israelites who left Egypt. That means there were 2 million or so Israelites who left Egypt. So that means there were at least 4 million prophets. Only such prophecy that was needed for later generations was written down, the Talmud says. Of these millions of Jews, the prophecies, and let's address that just a little bit. They didn't have the written word to carry around with them. What word they had in the beginning was written on stone tablets or very meticulously upon scrolls. Not every person had access to the written word of God even after it was given. So they knew who were the prophets. They went to the man of God. You know about the Shunammite woman. She went to the man of God. We see case after case where they went to Deborah the judge, or they went somewhere to hear from heaven, because they're not born again. They don't have the Spirit of God inside them. So they go to the prophet who is anointed of God. In the Old Covenant, Old Testament, prophet, priest, and king were anointed, or those who were given special tasks to do. So twice as many Jews as came out of Egypt gave prophecies. Of these millions of Jews, it is written in the Talmud, of these millions of Jews, the prophecies of only 48 men and 7 women have been recorded in scriptures. That would be the Old Testament. We know there were more in the New. Of these 55, in many cases, very few of their prophecies are recorded, as little as a sentence or two in some cases. God-breathed words became the Holy Scriptures. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, or the breath of God, or the Spirit of God. I'll read it again. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All the Word of God came to us by prophecy. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last prophets of the Old Testament, knew there would be no further prophecies until Elijah would appear to herald the Messianic age. Hence, together with the other men of the great assembly, the Sanhedrin, they closed the canon of sacred scriptures, that is the Old Testament, selecting which books of the prophets would become part of the eternal written Torah, or the eternal written word of God. Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last prophets, and the Sanhedrin did that. In the New Testament, Peter reveals how prophetic scripture came and cause New Testament believers to take heed to the Old Testament prophets. 2 Peter 1:19 through 21. Peter writes, "We have a more," he's already said we were there on the Mount of Transfiguration, but now he's going to say, "We have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shines in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise. In your hearts knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." Now let's take a look at that. Peter says we have a more sure word of prophecy, or the Greek would say propheticos. Peter's talking about the written word. It's more sure than that vision they saw at the Transfiguration. What written word is he talking about? He's talking about the only written word they had, which was the Old Testament. That's the only word. He calls it the propheticos. He calls it the prophets. He's particularly, you know, they refer to the law and the prophets and the writings. That makes up the Old Testament. He's referring to the prophets, the propheticos. We have a more sure word of prophecy, the propheticos, whereunto you do well that you take heed. New Testament believers, he's saying, you will do well if you take heed to what the Old Testament prophets said. And then he said, it's like a light shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise. We can see that all around us in this earth now, it's a dark place. It's a dark place in the Middle East. What they said was going to be Middle East, some kind of an enlightenment turned out to be a Middle East nightmare. So all the Middle East has been in darkness, and the darkness will be there, and it will be in Europe, and it will be in the earth until the day dawns, the new day, and the day star arises. But there's a light that shines in the dark place. Why are we not overwhelmed by what we see? Why are we not shocked when we see nations come against Israel? Well, in the first place, when we see Israel come home. He said to us, Israel's coming home. That's a light shining in a dark place. The whole world is supposed to look at those Old Testament prophecies and say, God is God, because he said this would happen, and it happened. But those who are not looking at the light of the Word of God don't see that. And then when wars come, and when we see things happen with Russia and Syria and Iran, there's a light. And Egypt, there's a light. The Old Testament prophets. So Peter says, you should pay attention to it, and you do well if you do pay attention to the Old Testament prophets. Now, then he gives us a big key in verse 20. In your hearts, knowing this first, when you look at Old Testament prophecy, or any prophecy, New Testament too, you have to know this first. No prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. That means isolated interpretation. You cannot take a word of prophecy out of the book of Isaiah, one verse, and preach a doctrine off of it. All prophecy has to harmonize with all other prophecy, from Genesis to Revelation. And Jesus is, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. It all points to him. It all points to the day he comes. Bless the Lord. So it has to be in people who mix up Bible prophecy. They don't go by this rule. They don't make it all harmonize with all other Bible prophecy. Verse 21, Peter writing in the New Testament, 2 Peter 1:21. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man. He's told them, pay attention to the Old Testament prophets. And now he's telling them they didn't get their prophecy by the will of man or by their own will. But holy men of God, they were separated unto him, spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. So Elijah, Jeremiah, Daniel, they were holy men, men set apart unto God. And they spoke and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. David, Moses, all of them. Israel, that nation, has a prophetic anointing. That's something that you need to realize as you are watching things of the end, things of the last days. Romans chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. It is written, what advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. Think of it, all the Bible that we have, with perhaps exception of what Luke wrote, it's all written by Jews. And it says that's their chief advantage, that unto them were committed the oracles of God. I know how today even they are so particular when those scribes, and they don't go in the synagogues by the printed word of God, they will read it, but when they come to the Holy Scriptures, they want to bring down the scrolls that were written by a scribe. Each Hebrew letter, they're so meticulous, so careful. Each Hebrew letter has a number. So when the scribe comes to the end of a line, he has to copy it just like it was on the scroll before him, and it has to have a certain they add up all the letters and they have to equal a certain amount. So they tally it out and they make it all count. I know it was so amazing when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls. Now, I don't know if you've ever heard of this thing, but something called higher criticism came out of Germany at the turn of the century, 1900, 20th century. And this higher criticism said, well, part of the Bible was, they criticized the Bible. And part of it was maybe inspired, but part of it wasn't. And they said, the higher criticism said that Isaiah was written by three different authors. And that one was written very late after the thing. Rather than prophesy what was going to happen, they said this guy wrote after the fact. So something that shut them up was the Dead Sea Scrolls. In the Dead Sea Scrolls in Israel that were put there when the Jews, the Essenes put them there, when the Jews were, the temple was destroyed and they hid the Holy Scriptures, they found the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah is exactly like the book of Isaiah that we have today. And there were no such thing as three different authors. And you see the very meticulous way that those Jews took care of the Word of God. I often say something like this. He knew better than to let Americans write the Word of God. They would have edited it, first of all, to match what they believed. They would probably have copyrighted it so that only people through them could get that word. And then, bless the Lord, we wouldn't have the pure Word of God that we can count on today. But God knew what He was doing when He gave to the Jews. And that whole nation has a prophetic anointing. We will be looking at that more tomorrow. But let's read again Romans 3, 1 and 2. What advantage then hath the Jew? Or what profit is there of circumcision? Much, he answers the question, in every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. I want to invite you today to be with us when we go into a deep study of the Word of God in Branson, the book of Revelation. I'm going to be teaching a school, the Book of Revelation School, August 3rd through 7, 2013, at the Oak Ridge Boys Theater in Branson, Missouri. We're going to start on Saturday, the 3rd, with a 10 a.m. and 7 p.m. session. We'll be there on Sunday and Monday through Wednesday. Call 1-800-972-3447 or go online at BillyBrim, BillyBrim.org to get more information. We'd like you to register. You don't have to. We'd like to know you're coming. Shalom.